إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، once again I welcome all of you. بارك الله فيكم. We continue reading من الملخص في شرح كتاب التوحيد, the explanation of كتاب التوحيد from الملخص by our beloved Shaykh الدكتور صالح الفوزان حفظه الله تعالى. We're going to still continue reading from the chapter number 17, باب الشفاعة, chapter that deals with the intercession. We started reading this in 2 weeks ago, and now we're going to read the ayah, the explanation of the ayah 26 in Surah Al-Najm, as the Shaykh Al-Imam Al-Mujaddid Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala selected this ayah as a proof from the many other proofs in this chapter, Al-Shafa'ah, intercession. قَالَ وَقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى وَكَمْ مِنْ مَلَكٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ لَا تُغْنِي شَفَاعَتُهُمْ شَيْئًا إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِ أَنْ يَأْذَنَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَرْضَى. And there are many angels in the heavens whose intercession will be of no benefit except after Allah has given leave and permission for whom He wills and pleases. The explanation of our beloved Shaykh, Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, Hafidahu Allah Ta'ala, as for the meaning, the general meaning of this verse, this ayah, قَالَ يُخْبِرُ تَعَالَى أَنَّ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ مَعَ مَكَانَتِهِمْ عِنْدَهُ لَا تُجْدِي شَفَاعَتُهُمْ فِي أَحَدٍ شَيْئًا وَلَا تَنْفَعُهُ إِلَّا إِذَا أَذِنَ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ أَنْ يَشْفَعُوا فِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ الشَّفَاعَةَ لَهُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ وَكَانَ الْمَشْفُوعُ فِيهِ مِمَّنْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَهُ وَعَمَلَهُ بِأَنْ يَكُونَ سَالِمًا مِنَ الشِّرْكِ قَلِيلِهِ وَكَثِيرِهِ وَإِذَا كَانَ هَذَا فِي حَقِّ الْمَلَائِكَةِ فَغَيْرُهُمْ مِنْ بَابٍ أَوْلَى. In explanation of this verse, general meaning of it, our beloved Shaykh Dr. Salih Al-Fawzan, حفظه الله تعالى, said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing us that many of the angels, though with their status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their high status with Allah, they cannot intercede for anyone, and their intercession for anyone will be of no benefit. Unless if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow them to intercede on behalf of those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with from His servants. And also the one who's been interceded for, Allah has to be pleased with such a person's statements and actions. Meaning, the Shaykh, he says, that they have to be free from shirk. The persons who will benefit from intercession likewise has to be free from shirk. The Shaykh says, if this is the case for the angels and their makana, and we know their status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so those who are lesser than them in degree, this is actually apply on them more. مناسبة الآية للباب. Now the Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan tells us the reason why Shaykh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala chose this ayah as a chapter, as a proof in this chapter. قال لأن فيها الرد على المشركين. الذين يطلبون الشفاعة من الملائكة وغيرهم من المخلوقين. The Sheikh, he chose this in this chapter because it contains a clear refutation against the polytheists who ask intercession from the angels and other than them from the creation. So Allah made clear to them that this intercession would not benefit unless if Allah allows it first. لِمَنْ يَأْذَنْ لَا بُدَّ مِنْ إِذْنِ اللَّهِ. This is a condition, as the Shaykh is going to mention later on. That's a condition that Allah has to allow that. However is about to intercede, he has to be have permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ما يستفاد من الآية. What is some of the benefits from this verse? أولا الرد على المشركين الذين يتقربون إلى المخلوقين يطلبون منهم الشفاعة. This is a refutation against the polytheists, those who draw near to the creation, because we are commanded to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But these polytheists, they do actions of worship to get closer to the creation. And from that is asking intercession from them. Number two, أن الشفاعة ملك لله وحده لا تطلب إلا منه. That the shafa'ah, the intercession, belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Therefore, it should be sought from Him alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number three, أن الشفاعة لا تنفع إلا بشرطين. And that the intercession would be of no benefit except if two conditions are fulfilled. Two conditions has to be fulfilled. الشرط الأول, the first condition, إذن الرب للشافع أن يشفع. That Allah grants permission for the intercessor to intercede. If permission is not granted, that intercession will be of no benefit whatsoever. And الشرط الثاني, the second condition, رضاه عن المشفوع فيه بأن يكون من أهل التوحيد والإخلاص. The second condition, Allah is pleased with the one who's been interceded for. And that person who's been interceded for should be from the people of Tawheed and Ikhlas, meaning free from shirk. Intercession is not for the mushrikeen. Intercession is not for the mushrikeen, those who associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worship, but rather it is for those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with, and Allah is pleased with the people of Tawheed, the people who fulfill the Tawheed, those who have ikhlas, ikhlasul ibadah, lillah. They sincerely devote all acts of worship for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. So, ملخص هذه الآية تعريف الشفاعة والرد على المشركين الذين يطلبون الشفاعة من الأنبياء والصالحين وأن الشفاعة ملك لله وحده يجب طلبها منه وحده. So far we learned the meaning of شفاعة, intercession, and also we learned that this ayah contains a clear refutation against the polytheists in these aspects of the shafa'ah. And there is many other ayats which contain refutations against the actions of shirk that are performed by the polytheists. And the Shaykh, he brought, and he's going to continue, we're going to continue to read to you as we move on, inshallah ta'ala, in this book, about the Shaykh bringing many ayats and ahadith that refute the mushrikeen. Because the mushrikeen, the polytheists, they do a lot of evil. They commit shirk in so many ways. in so many ways through their actions and statements and the like. وَأَنَّ الشَّفَاعَةَ مِلْكُ لِلَّهِ وَحْدَهِ. That shafa'a belongs to Allah alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those who intercede, they intercede only for if two conditions are fulfilled. No one will intercede without Allah's leave and permission. It's not up to anyone to intercede on behalf of anyone. But the creature being, has to have permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the first condition. And the second condition, the one who's been interceded for has to be from the people of Tawheed and Ikhlas, meaning free from shirk. The fourth proof that the Shaykh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab rahimahu wa ta'ala mentioned in this chapter, qawlillahi ta'ala fi surah, qawlillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala fi surah Saba, قل ادعوا الذين زعمتم من دون الله لا يملكون مثقال ذرة في السماوات ولا في الأرض وما لهم فيهما من شرك وما له منهم من ظهير ولا تنفع الشفاعة عنده إلا لمن أذن له حتى إذا فزع عن قلوبهم قالوا ماذا قال ربكم قالوا الحق وهو العلي الكبير. Now, in this ayat in Surah Saba, the Shaykh brought as a proof as well in this chapter intercession, say, call upon those whom you assert to be associated gods besides Allah. They possess not even the weight of an atom or a small ant, either in the heavens or on the earth, nor have they any share in either, nor there is for him any supporter from among them. Intercession with him profits not, except for him whom Allah permits. Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, he says, say, أي للمشركين قل للمشركين say O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم to who الخطاب موجه للمشركين say to the polytheists ولا تنفع الشفاعة عنده that the intercession will be of no benefit. His refutation, because the mushrikeen, they claim that they're false gods, they intercede. That's why they worship them. See, this is how they went wrong. They believe, see, the mushrikeen of Quraysh, they believe in Allah. They believe that Allah exists and He's the Al-Khaliq, He's the one who created them and the heavens and the earth and all of that. They don't believe that their idols who they make with their own hands and they buy with couple dirhams, they create. So why worship them? They intercede between us and between Allah. You know? المعنى الإجمالي للآيتين. The general meaning of these two verses of Surah Saba, يقول الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله يأمر الله سبحانه نبيه أن يقول للمشركين على وجه التحدي. Allah سبحانه وتعالى is commanding his prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم to say to the polytheists, and this is a challenging them على وجه التحدي, يعني يتحداهم. This is a challenge. اطلبوا من آلهتكم التي زعمتم أنها تنفعكم وتكشف الضر عنكم. Ask your false gods that you claim they are gods to benefit you. or to repel harm away from you. فإنهم لا يقدرون على ذلك. Even if you continue to call them, they have no power nor the ability to assist you, to bring you benefit, nor to remove harm away from you. لماذا؟ لأنهم لا يملكون من الكون وزن ذرة وزن أصغر نملة ملكا مستقلا وليس لهم في الكون أدنى شركة مع الله. Why? Because they don't own anything from this universe. Nothing. Even the smallest thing, the atom, the smallest ant, they don't own that. Al-Shaykh Rabi, hafidhahullah ta'ala, when he talks about this, he always mentions the ayat, and he says, even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he mentioned they don't possess anything, they don't own anything, those whom you call and you take them as gods, because God, from his characteristics, that he's the creator, he creates, Al-Malik, he has the dominion over the universe, but this, they don't own anything. Not even a qitmir. Not a date. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say a date. Not even the stone, the date stone inside of the date. SubhanAllah. Not even that thin white membrane. You remember when you open a date and you have the stone inside? Some of them they come without stones, so, but they are stone because they take them out. And they raise the price, by the way. Okay? Charge you for taking that out, okay? And it's like you don't know how to take it out. Okay? But some people, I don't know. They just love to spend extra money. I don't know. Anyway. So when you open the date, it's not the date. Of course, they cannot create a date. Not the stone inside the date. It's not even that little thin membrane that if you pay attention, it is stuck to the stone. They can't even create that. SubhanAllah. وَلَيْسَ لَهُمْ فِي الْكَوْنِ أَدْنَى شَرِكَ مَعَ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. There is nothing in this universe that they share with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or they say, look, we created the moon, or half of it is for us, or half of the earth is for us, or the birds, or the rain, nothing. They don't share with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anything. وَلَيْسَ مِنْهُمْ أَحَدٌ يُعِينُ اللَّهِ فِي تَصْرِيفِ الْأُمُورِ. None from their false gods that they create and go to and ask them for, to assist them for you know, in times of hardship, or to ask them to bring them good and the like. None of them assist Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to run the universe and to govern the affairs. وَلَا يَتَقَدَّمُونَ وَلَا يَقْدِرُونَ عَلَى التَّقَدَّمُ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ فِي الشَّفَاعَةِ لَكُمْ إِلَّا إِذَا أَذِنَ لَهُمْ بِذَلِكَ وَهُوَ لَا يَأْذَنُ بِالشَّفَاعَةِ لِمُشْرِكٍ. And those that you call upon to intercede and for intercession, they will not be able to assist you unless and until Allah permit that. And Allah does not permit anyone, any mushrik, to intercede. فهم لا يملكون شيئا استقلالا ولا يشاركون في الملك ولا يعاونون المالك ولا يملكون الشفاعة عنده بغير إذنه. إذن ما هي النتيجة؟ بطلت عبادتهم من دون الله. So these are the things and objects that they worship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the mushrikeen in this ayah, they don't own anything by themselves. They don't have any mulk that is only entitled for them. And they don't share any other properties with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They do not assist Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in anything from the affairs of this universe. And they do not possess the shafa'a with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without His permission. So therefore, they're not. Their worship in them is futile. It's futile. They don't own anything. They can't give anything. They can't assist. Wallahu al-musta'an. مناسبة الآيتين للباب and the Shaykh mentioned the reason why Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad Abdul Wahhab رحمه تعالى has chosen these two verses to be a proof is in this chapter. قال فيهما الرد على المشركين الذين يتقربون إلى الأولياء يطلبون منهم الشفاعة ويدعونهم لجلب النفع ودفع الضر. These ayats, they are a proof and they contain a clear refutation against the polytheists who, once again, they get near and closer to the awliya. They go to the graves of dead people, even though people may be righteous. But it's a refutation against them because that action is not a good action. And they go to them and they ask from them intercession. They call upon them to assist them in times of calamity, to repel harm away from them or to bring them benefits. And these are things you should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. He alone repel the hardship and evil. And He alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala, brings benefits to His servants. So we memorize these ayats because we can use them as a proof. You know, ourselves, to learn that these are actions of shirk wal-iyadu billah. And also, you never know. You may be somewhere when you see certain people do these actions. And you know, some people, they just don't know out of ignorance. They believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They believe in the Qur'an, in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you give them ayats from the Qur'an. هذا أبلغ في القبول. When you give them ayats, this is the speech of Allah, it's not me. It's not because I don't want you to do this. I don't have no benefit in preventing you. Actually, the benefit is for you. Because this is from shirk. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not pleased with shirk. And it's easy to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to call upon Allah. You don't have to go through somebody. You know, and then there is a long line and you've been waiting for years and you needed that now. Huh? No, you call upon Allah whenever you want. See? It's not like you're on a line and you have to, you know, to go through some, I don't know, like in Christians, they have to go through the priest and stuff. No. You turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah at your home, at your job, at the masjid, while you're walking, while you're standing, while you're laying down. Doesn't matter. Alhamdulillah, we have 5 obligatory prayers at least a day and night. When you can ask Allah in sujood, whatever you want. And there is so many other optional prayers. And subhanAllah, when it rains, you ask Allah. When you're traveling, you ask Allah. And you can ask Allah in any moment. In the morning, in the evening. It's not like there is only 1 hour a year. Oh, I gotta wait until I missed it. No. You ask Allah in any moment. Any place. Doesn't have to be in the masjid. Doesn't have to be in Mecca. No. You don't have to travel to Mecca. That's the only way the dua is going to be accepted. No. Dua is accepted from the mukhlisin. From the muwahideen. The people of tawheed. People of ikhlas. Sincerity. From the righteous and the like. ما يستفاد من الآيتين. What is some of the benefits that the Shaykh mentioned? In this, from this ayatain, أولا الرد على المشركين الذين يدعون مع الله آلهة من الملائكة وغيرهم يزعمون أنهم يملكون لهم نفعا أو يدفعون عنهم ضرا. Likewise, this is one of the many ayats in the Quran that refute the polytheists, those who call upon others with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, other false gods, such as the angels. Some people, they take the angels as gods besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and other than them. And these polytheists, they claim that these creatures whom they take as false gods besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring them benefit or repel harm away from them. And as if you remember in a couple of chapters before, that the angels themselves, who are honorable creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they worship Allah and obey Allah all time, unlike some of the human beings who sometimes they worship Allah, some don't. And those who worship Allah, not all of them worship all time. And obedient, they obey Allah and sometimes disobey Allah in many other times. Not the angels. The angels, they worship Allah all time. لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرَهُمْ. They do not disobey Allah, the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they are free from those people who take them as gods. They're free. They're free from those people. Number two, مشروعية محاجة المشركين لإبطال الشرك ومناظرتهم في ذلك. It is permissible to encounter the polytheist in debates to refute them or to refute their false arguments. But this is not for anybody to just put themselves out there. You know? This is for those who has firm foot in knowledge of Tawheed, okay, in knowledge of the creed and the aqeedah of Tawheed, of the haqq, of the truth, as well as the falsehood of those who are going to talk to. This is not just like, okay, come here, I'm Muslim, alhamdulillah, come here, you're a mushrik, let's go debate. No, it doesn't work like that. But I have firm foot in knowledge. This is for the ulama. The ulama, yes, they refute the mushrikeen. And there is so much, like Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, and his student, the other Shaykh al-Islam ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahumullah, in their books, many refutation against the polytheists. And upon Ahlul Bid'ah too. Many, many work, alhamdulillah, beneficial work of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, and Shaykh al-Islam ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahumullah, refuting the shirk in many aspects. And debating, the people come to them and they show them how, you know, how wrong they are. They show them these things. But likewise, the mubtadi'ah, but this is for the ulama. But for somebody who don't get close. Don't start anything you can't finish. In reality, somebody may be very weak in his knowledge, and the opponent is very strong in his shirk, and he be pulling him now, because it's like a pulling the string. One pulling the other side, and one like, who's the strongest win? And somebody is weak in Tawheed, don't even know anything, and don't know much about shirk neither. So the mushrik will like, oh, it's the same, man. And he's eloquent. He may even bring an ayat who the other person don't know what they mean. And then in the end of the day, they get in lunch together. All right? And they're like, yeah, we're the same, man. Wahdat al-adiyan now, is it? No. Number three, قَطْعُ الْأَسْبَابِ الَّتِي يَتَعَلَّقُ بِهَا الْمُشْرِكُونَ. That this beautiful deen of Islam cut all means that the mushrikeen hang to, all threads, anything that they hang to is cut off, and it's good for them. It's good for the people. وذلك أن المشرك إنما يتخذ معبوده لما يحصل له من النفع والنفع لا يكون إلا ممن فيه خصلة من أربع. He says because the polytheists, they call upon those because they're looking for benefit. And sometimes these mushrikeen, they go to a dead person or whatever and ask them for something, and Allah give them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's the one who benefit that person, but they think that the object, the idol, they're the one that assisted them, wal'iyadu billah. But once again, the Shaykh mentioned characteristics of those who are worthy to be called upon. And there's nobody. When it comes to things that are only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nobody should be attributed these things. Yes, you can call upon somebody, for example, to assist you from the human beings, but with conditions, as we mentioned before, and I read to you before, you're moving, for example, yes, you need assistance, you call some people, Akhi, would you, are you free this morning, this afternoon, this evening? But that person has to be able to help. Not somebody sick in the hospital. Somebody in the hospital, Akhi, we move in tomorrow. He said, well, let me move from here first. I'm still here, man, I'm in the hospital. So it's futile. You're gonna go to a baby. Are you ready? Baby is crawling. Ready for what? He said, ready for what? For a diaper change? I'm ready. No. They have to be able to help, and they have to be present. Now you're in Georgia, and then you want to call somebody in China. Hey, you free tomorrow? Unless if he can get to Georgia, but he's over there. How are you going to help you? Moving stuff. It's different now. We're talking about electronic. Maybe you have problems, you know, troubleshooting in your internet or whatever. Somebody, I don't know, in Japan can assist you with that, you know, and tell you, listen, man, you see that button, the red one? I don't know if there is a red one in the computer anyway, so just making up stuff. All right, you see that button? Okay, there is two of them, okay? One smaller than the other? Okay, leave them alone, both, see? Because people, sometimes they know people wants to push buttons. No, leave them alone for now, we're going to get back to them. That person can assist you like that. But you cannot tell him he's in China, give me a hand, man, we're going to move this table with a hand. So it's very important for us to remember these things. But those who can benefit, the Shaykh says, they have to possess some qualities and characteristics. From them, number one, إِمَّا أَن يَكُونَ مَالِكًا لِمَا يُرِيدُهُ مِنْهُ عَابِدُ. That they should possess that which those who worship them ask them for. They ask them for children. But they don't possess any children. الثانية إما أن يكون شريكا للمالك. Whether they own that which the people asking them, or at least in the second degree, they partners with the one who owns these things. Okay, that they ask for. وَإِمَّا أَنْ يَكُونَ ظَاهِرًا أَوْ مُعِينًا. In another degree, or at least he be of assistance to the one who owns these things. وَالرَّابِعَ إِمَّا أَنْ يَكُونَ شَفِيعًا. If he doesn't have it, own it, he's not even a partner, you know, partner. He's not even assisting the one who owns it. And in the fourth one, he cannot even intercede. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala nafa hadhihi kullaha an alihati al-mushrikeen. So, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala denies all of these things. None of these four things apply on those objects that the polytheists worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll give an example. All right. You own a place. Okay, that's your job, your business. If you own a business, can somebody ask you for a job in there? Can somebody ask you? You can ask him. That's your business. You can hire them on the spot, right or wrong. Can somebody say no? No. All right. Or if you're a partner with somebody, you got 50% in that business. Can somebody still ask you for the job or not? Yes, they can. But it's not like in the first example, now you have to deal with your partners. But you can, people can steal. Now, in the third one, you're helping and you're assisting the owner. Cannot do without you. He needs your assist. He needs your input into his business. Can you steal? Can somebody still ask you for a job or not? Yes, because you have a power. And the fourth one, what is it? To intercede. So you don't own the place. You're not a co-partner. You don't have no weight in that. But maybe your word is heard. Huh? That's like in our terms, put a word for me, right? You know, yes, some people, they can put a word for you. Somebody who's the owner respects. Somebody who's the owner, give him that permission. Listen, if anybody come from your way, it's okay with me. All right? But if somebody has none of this, nothing. He don't own the place. Right or wrong? And he's not a partner in the place. Has no weight whatsoever in that place. His word is not heard. And on top of that, he's dead. You go to him. Oh, I got the application, but let me see my man over there. All right? Let's drive. Where he at? Oh, he's right there. I don't see him. Oh, right there, man. You see the dirt? Yeah. Where he at? He's right under there. What he doing under there? He's been there. How long? Oh, now 50 years, 500. What, he been there? He ain't come out? When he coming out? No, he tell you, you crazy, man. I'm crazy? How he can come out? Why he can't come out? Well, he's dead. So I'm crazy. So now you have the application, but you're gonna come and talk to somebody who's dead? Oh yeah, because he can put a word for me. I don't know what word is that. Subhanallah. The man don't own anything in the business. He's not a partner. He has no weight in that business. They don't even know him. And he's dead. And he can still get you in there. Yeah, right. Allah al-musta'an. Allah al-musta'an. Allahumma ihdi ibadak ya Rabb. May Allah guide those who are astray. Amen. And keep us firm. Amen. Number four, إثبات الشفاعة التي تكون بإذن الله. نعم. شفاعة is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But yet, Allah will allow whom He choose and pleased with from His servants to intercede. Number five, أن المشركين لا تنفعهم الشفاعة لأن الله تعالى لا يأذن فيها لمشرك. But the mushrikeen, the intercession would be of no benefit for them. No benefit. Because one of the conditions, as you remember, we learned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not pleased. If He's not pleased with some servants and He's not pleased with the mushrikeen, so they forfeit their right of intercession. So once again, intercession belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does it mean? It means that nobody just go ahead and intercede. I got you. I got him too. No, it doesn't work like that. Nobody has the right to just go ahead on their own to intercede to whom they want. But yet, yes, some of the servants of Allah will intercede. The anbiya, alhamdulillah. But only with the other condition. That Allah is pleased with the one who's interceded for. If Allah is not pleased for the intercession, it's not going to happen. And Allah is not pleased with the mushrikeen. They have to make tawbah and repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the mushrik, nothing will be of benefit Even if they pray and fast and make hajj and read Quran, will be on no benefit, because ash-shirk yuhbitul amal. Shirk nullify all deeds, wal-iyadu billah. Look how, subhanAllah, how dangerous. You find people, they say they're Muslims. Their names are Muslim names, and they pray five times a day. They read Quran. And some of them, maybe they memorize the whole Quran, as Sheikh Salah al-Fawzan says. بِالْقِرَاءَاتِ الْعَشَرْ Nice tajweed. But then they commit shirk, wal-iyadu billah. And they fast Ramadan, they make hajj. But then they commit shirk. And shirk nullify the deeds, wal-iyadu billah. وقال أبو العباس يعني شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله نفى الله عما سواه كل ما يتعلق به المشركون فنفى أن يكون لغيره ملك فنفى أن يكون لغيره ملك أو قسط منه أو يكون عونا لله ولم يبقى إلا الشفاعة فبين أنها لا تنفع إلا لمن أذن له الرب كما قال ولا يشفعون إلا لمن ارتدى فهذه الشفاعة التي يظنها المشركون هي منتفية يوم القيامة كما نفاها القرآن وأخبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه يأتي فيسجد لربه ويحمده لا يبدأ بالشفاعة أولا ثم يقال له ارفع رأسك وقل تسمع واسأل تعطى واشفع تشفع وقال أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه من أسعد الناس بشفاعتك قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من قال لا إله إلا الله خالصا من قلبه فتلك الشفاعة لأهل الإخلاص بإذن الله ولا تكون لمن أشرك بالله وحقيقته أن الله سبحانه هو الذي يتفضل على أهل الإخلاص فيغفر لهم بواسطة دعاء من أذن له أن يشفع ليكرمه وينال المقام المحمود فالشفاعة التي نفاها القرآن ما كان فيها شرك ولهذا أثبت الشفاعة بإذنه في مواضع وقد بين النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنها لا تكون إلا لأهل التوحيد والإخلاص انتهى كلامه The last proof in this chapter, Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad Abdul Wahhab rahmatullahi says that Abu al-Abbas, and this is the kunya of Shaykh al-Islam Ahmed ibn Abd al-Halim ibn Abd al-Salam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, Shaykh al-Islam, he said that Allah has equally negated all that the mushrikeen, polytheists, have attached to their false gods. For he has negated, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has negated that anyone has any dominion or any share of it besides him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, or that there is any assistant to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that there is nothing to remain except intercession. It is clear that there will be no benefit to anyone except for who has been granted permission by the Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the intercession, it will be of no benefits without this condition that we mentioned. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, they will not be able to intercede except for him with whom he is pleased, with those whom Allah is pleased with. And for this reason, the intercession that the mushrikeen believe in is rejected on the day of resurrection. As it is rejected by the Quran, and as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us, that on the day of judgment, the Prophet ﷺ will come and prostrate to his Lord and praise him. And he will not begin with intercession at first. It will be said to him, raise your head, speak and you will be heard. Ask and you will be given. Intercede and intercession will be granted. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu asked the Prophet ﷺ, who will be the happiest of people with your intercession? The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever said La ilaha illallah sincerely with pure intention from his heart. Tawheed. The person who has ikhlas. So it is not for the mushrikeen. So this intercession is for those people with pure intent. If Allah so wills, and it will not be for those who commit shirk. The essence of the matter is that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is above all imperfections, who favors the people sincere in their worship and forgives them through the medium of the invocation of whoever he subhanahu wa ta'ala has given permission to intercede as an honor to him and to confer upon him the highest place, as we call the al-maqam al-mahmud. The intercession which is rejected and denied in the Quran is that which invokes shirk, or involves shirk, contains shirk. And this is why intercession is confirmed and affirmed by the permission of Allah in many places. The Prophet ﷺ made it clear that this intercession will not be for other than the people of Tawheed, those who are upon Islamic monotheism, and ikhlas, sincerity in the religion of Islam. Abu al-Abbas, he is Shaykh al-Islam. First of all, Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, he says that Abu al-Abbas is Shaykh al-Islam Taqiyuddin Ahmad ibn Abd al-Halim ibn Abd al-Salam ibn Taymiyyah al-Imam al-Mashhur Sahib al-Musannafat al-Mufida, the well-known Shaykh al-Islam. And he has left us a treasure of a lot of good books, alhamdulillah. Kanat wafatuhu, and he died in the year 728 of the Hijrah, rahimahullahu ta'ala. 700 years and 6 years ago. Okay? The general meaning, or maqsood al-mu'allif min siyaqi kalami shaykh al-Islam huna, the reason why, he explained to us why Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahu ta'ala brought the statement of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. قال لأن فيه شرحا وتفسيرا لما في هذا الباب من الآيات. Because the statement of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah contains an explanation to those ayats in this chapter. From that, number one, صفة الشفاعة المنفية وصفة الشفاعة المثبتة. Shaykh al-Islam explains both types of shafa'ah, intercession, the one that is rejected by Allah and the one that is affirmed and accepted. Not any intercession is accepted, not any intercession will be of benefit. Number two, ذكر الشفاعة الكبرى وهي المقام المحمود وماذا يفعل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حتى يؤذن له فيها. Likewise, he mentioned the greatest intercession, and it is al-maqam al-mahmud, that supreme possession. And this is gained by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam due to his intercession on behalf of those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with. Allah is pleased for their intercession. That's al-maqam al-mahmud. And also he mentioned to us what the Prophet ﷺ do before this, that he will prostrate for a long time and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he will be asked to raise his head and ask, he's heard, to speak, and he's heard, ask, will he be given. Mention what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what the Prophet ﷺ will do, so that permission will be granted for him. Number three, أن أسعد الناس بالشفاعة أهل الإيمان, that the most happiest of people with the intercession of the Prophet ﷺ, the people of true faith. And may Allah make us from the Ameen. فائدة. Then the Shaykh mentioned a benefit. He said that أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم له ستة أنواع من الشفاعة, that the Prophet ﷺ has six types of intercessions. Six types of intercession. الأول الشفاعة الكبرى التي يختص بها نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وهي الشفاعة لأهل الموقف ليفصل الله بينهم ويريحهم من مقاهم في الموقف. The great intercession, and this is only for the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. No one shares with him in this one. For our Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. And which one is that? Is that the is for the people of Mawqif. When the people will be resurrected in Yawm al-Qiyamah, they will stand in a place. They will stand waiting for accounting, for the hisab. And then he will intercede on behalf of the creation so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put them to account so that they can be relieved from that hardship that they're going through by them waiting. And that's only for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you know in the long hadith that the people turn to Adam alayhi salam, and Adam pass it to Nuh until he gets to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. الثاني شفاعته لأهل الجنة حتى يدخلوها. The second of the types of intercessions for the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is he will intercede on behalf of the people of Jannah so they can enter Jannah. May Allah make us from them. Amen. الثالث الشفاعة لقوم من العصاة استوجبوا دخول النار ألا يدخلوها. The third شفاعة that is established for the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he will intercede on behalf of some of the sinners. Who they were entering the hellfire, but the Prophet ﷺ will intercede on their behalf, and they would not enter the hellfire. They would not enter the hellfire. They die upon Tawheed, but they have sins and disobedience. But the Prophet ﷺ, and this they deserve the hellfire, but the Prophet ﷺ will intercede on their behalf, and they will not enter the hellfire. الرابع الشفاعة في قوم من العصاة دخلوا النار أن يخرجوا منها. The fourth intercession for the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that is established for him صلى الله عليه وسلم is that he will intercede صلى الله عليه وسلم on behalf of the sinners and disobedience who have already entered the hellfire. من الموحدين. They die upon Tawheed, but their sins allow them to get them into the hellfire. The Prophet ﷺ will intercede on their behalf, and Allah will get them out of the hellfire. Will intercede so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, get them out of the hellfire. Al-Khamis, the fifth, الشفاعة في قوم من أهل الجنة لزيادة ثوابهم ورفع درجاتهم. That the Prophet ﷺ will intercede on behalf of certain people, but they are from the people of Jannah, so that their reward will be increased. And Allah will raise them in levels. Allahu Akbar. May Allah make us from them. Ameen. والسادس, what is the sixth shafa'ah? Na'am.
The Prophet ﷺ will intercede for a person in the hellfire that his punishment is lessened.
Precisely?
His uncle.
Not anybody. شفاعته صلى الله عليه وسلم في عمه أبي طالب أن يخفف عنه عذاب النار. Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم intercede on behalf of his uncle, Abu Talib, so that his punishment in hellfire be lessened. And by this we come to an end to this chapter, inshallah ta'ala, walhamdulillah. The next chapter, number 18, باب قول الله تعالى إنك لا تهدي من أحببت. Allah guides whom He wills. And this is going to be a very good chapter and beneficial as related to guidance and who's guided and who's not and who truly guide the people to be upon Tawheed and upon Islam. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.